few verses here about what we celebrate, why we celebrate Christmas. I'm going to start out reading to you in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." I don't say this to be funny, but for those of y'all that don't know, is a virgin is a person that has never had sex. So a person that has never had sex, there's absolutely no way that that person can become pregnant. All right. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice highly, favored one.'" I mean, what an honor this is, favored one. I mean, God's eyes roam to and fro, and all the people on planet Earth, he looks at Mary and chooses her to carry his son. Think about that. Looks down at everybody and says, "I want you to carry the Savior of the world. By you, God in flesh will be born." "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. In other words, she's wondering what in the world's going on. And when God calls you to do something, it's not always going to make you feel comfortable. Amen. When God asks you to do something, don't think it's going to be comfortable. I know I've heard people out there saying, I've heard preachers say that if God's in it, it'll be easy. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Amen. That's a lie. It says, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" In other words, she's saying, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin? I've not been with any man. How can this be?" "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." What's our attitude when you read the Bible? What's your attitude when you read the Bible? Amen. Because in the same way that this angel was speaking to Mary, the word of God still speaks to you and I the same way. Amen. And many, many times when we look into the word of God, we're no different than Mary. How can this be? How can this happen in my life? God, how can you use me? God, how can you do this? But then when the angel had talked to her, she said, "Let it be as you have spoken." This should be the same attitude that we have when we look into God's word. Let it be as you have spoken. He says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." The first person to recognize Jesus Christ was an unborn baby. Listen to that. The first person to recognize Jesus Christ was an unborn baby. Yet many times today within the body of Christ, we cannot even recognize Jesus Christ when we get into the reading of his word. Amen. So he goes on and it says, let's go to Isaiah 7:14 real quick. And I meant to read Isaiah 7:14 first. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. There is absolutely, there is no other human being ever been born on this planet that was born of a virgin. This is what separates, one of the things that separates the Son of God from every other person. Amen. Now, I want you to understand something. You got to think about this as I get into reading this in a minute. Imagine how Joseph felt when this happened. Joseph was betrothed to Mary. They were engaged. That was to be his wife. Amen. And then all of a sudden, Joseph's looking around. Mary comes to her and says, hey, I want you to understand something. Anybody in here about to get married? Everybody in here done got married? Amen. That's a sign of a healthy church. Amen. Ain't no folks shacking up together in here. Amen. Amen. Took a lot of preaching, but we got it there. Amen. A lot of them folk may not still be here, but they got married before they left. Amen. If they going to hell, they ain't going to hell on our watch. Amen. But now, I want you to understand something. Imagine you're engaged. You're a virgin. She's a virgin. Y'all know y'all ain't been together. Then all of a sudden she walked up to you and says, hey, babe, I want you to understand something. It's going to find a little bit hard to believe. I'm going to ask you to sit down and get a drink of water. Okay? I'm going to ask you to pray a little bit because this is what happened. I was out in the garden the other day and God appeared to me. An angel come to me. And I just want you to know that I'm pregnant. Now, I ain't been with another man. I ain't slept with nobody else. But I'm pregnant by God, and I'm going to have the Savior of the world. Now, if your wife would have come to you and told you that, would you have said, all right, baby, that's cool. I mean, now, you got to understand Joseph. What do you think went through the mind of Joseph when this happened? Amen? I mean, just think about it. That a woman coming in there and saying, I'm pregnant, I've not been with another man, and I'm going to have the child of God, and you're going to have to deal with it. And you're just going to have to believe me. Amen? Now, Joseph, if he was a Jew, like, yes, he was, grew up under the Scripture, well, this is an opportunity to find out if he really believes what the Word of God says, which is no different than you and I. Amen? Because when we look into the Word of God, when we become pregnant with the seed of God, amen, when we become pregnant with the seed of God, amen, see, we're still getting pregnant, amen? People today are still getting pregnant. In the same way that Mary got pregnant with the child of God, when we get born again and saved, the seed of God has now moved on the inside of us. Amen. And now what happens is Joseph has got an opportunity to look into the Word of God and see if he really believes what the Word of God says. See, if he goes back here and looks at Isaiah 7, and it says that there is going to be a woman, and she's going to be a virgin, and she's going to get pregnant, and she's going to carry the Son of God. So now I bet you Joseph is going into the Word. If he's a man of faith at all, because when I hear somebody come to me and tell me something, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm not going to believe it just because somebody told me, but I'm going to take what they say and I'm going to study it out in the Word of God. I'm not going to let my mind make its own scenarios, come up with its own ways of understanding, come up with its own judgments, because the Bible tells me that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is there of death. Amen. So the only way that this can happen is I've got to get into the Word of God and find in the Word of God what is being said in order to bring satisfaction to my understanding. Amen. So if I was Joseph, this is what I think I would do. I'd go to Isaiah 7:14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Sign. Now, Joseph probably sitting there like watching her stomach. You know, you think old Mary would have been like we are today? 21-week bump. Put it on Facebook. Boop. Get my baby bump. I bet Joseph's over here going. And I guarantee you, back in those days, if Mary would have been putting her 30-week bump or her pregnant belly on Facebook, Joseph would have been like, you better get that down. Because you know what? We're supposed to be men and women of God. You out there showing off your pregnant bump, and we ain't even had sex, and we're getting married. I'm telling everybody that you're a virgin, I'm a virgin, and you're on here pregnant. They're probably a little bit confused, wondering what in the world is going on. Somebody's looking like a liar right here. I mean, just think about it. Amen? So you sit here, and you go through, and you watch this. So Joseph, he gets back into the Word, and he's like, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So Joseph's sitting there going, okay, I can see right here what God says, that there's going to be a child born, God with us, going to be a virgin, but could this really be the one that I'm marrying? I mean, am I the one that's called to be the stepdad of God? The earthly father of God in flesh? I mean, I don't know if these are the kind of things that he was thinking, but I'd probably be thinking some of these things, would you? Amen. And he goes on in Isaiah 9, 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's jump over to Matthew now. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before they had sex, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what you got to understand, okay? And I've heard people say this before. They thought that God and Mary had sex. No. God did not have sex with Mary. God's creative ability, he spoke the child into existence in her womb. Amen? And it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. In other words, he's like, secretly, like, you got to go. He's like, not wanting to make an example out of you, not wanting to upset you. But back in, see, today, it's hard for us to wrap our mind around this, because a woman getting pregnant out of wedlock today ain't no big deal. I mean, it just ain't no big deal. It's like, hey, well, oh, the Lord bless me, no. Amen. I ain't saying it can't turn into a blessing, but God blesses marriage, amen, and then the union of that marriage, amen. So, he sits here and says, God don't bless sin. I'm just going to throw it out there, amen. You living in adultery, you living in fornication, you ain't married. God don't bless that mess, amen. I'm just going to tell you straight up. And I believe many of the problems that we end up having today out of the generations coming up is because they were born in sin and never taught no different, amen. So he says, I'm just going to read through, but while he thought on these things, now check this out. I know Joseph was kind of struggling with this. I mean, here you got this woman that he's engaged to. It's a big deal back in these days for a woman to get pregnant out of wedlock, and she's pregnant, and he's not wanting to embarrass her. He's not wanting to just throw her out there on Front Street. He's not wanting to just make a public example out of her, but at the same time, he's kind of like, hey, you got to get back. And then he says right here, it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Wow. So this tells me that what? Joseph was struggling with this. Amen. Joseph thought about this. He's struggling with this. Now here's what you got to do. Now you got God, or an angel that comes to Joseph and says, hey, Joseph, chill out, man. This that's going on is of the Holy Ghost. Your wife is pregnant. She's not been with anybody else. And that this child that she's carrying is of God. So go on ahead and raise this child. So now you've got Joseph and you got Mary at these times living in the social society that they were living in. People looking at them, knowing that they're supposed to be virgins, and looking at them and saying, you lied. Looking at them, accusing them of all of these things. Why? Because you got a woman walking around pregnant, but they're saying, no, we ain't done nothing. This child's of God. See, they lock you up nowadays. Amen. They lock you up nowadays. So it goes on here, and it says, but while he thought of these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. There was something that happened here. Tell me what happened here after the angel visited Joseph and told him what to do. He did what? He obeyed. The next move that happened right here was Joseph obeyed with what the angel of the Lord said. So if you and I are followers of God like Joseph was, then you and I have got the same job to do, that when we read the word of God, just sitting there is not following God. When we hear it, we've got to receive it and move in the direction of it, which is called obedience. Amen? Because not to obey it is to reject it. Amen? And many of us, we reject the word of God, not with our mouth, but with our actions, according to what the word of God says. Titus says that you profess to honor me with your mouth, but in your heart you deny me, amen? Or in your actions you deny me. So Joseph right here, I mean, this thing right here, you got to imagine this, this woman being pregnant and an angel of the Lord coming to. Now, how many of us would have rebuked that dream as not a dream of God? I mean, I'm not preaching to you today. I just want you to kind of think when you read the word of God. Amen? Just kind of think that. I mean, how many of us, if we had been asleep, we got a girlfriend over there, or the one that we're about to marry, we're engaged to. She's pregnant. I'm thinking about putting her away. I'm like, hey, you need to go over here and hide. All right, this really ain't going on. This ain't supposed to be going on in our society. An angel of the Lord had come to him and said, hey, that's what's going on. That's what's happening. It's of the Lord. Go on and take her as your wife. So now he's got to go around telling people, I don't know if he did or not, but telling people, saying, nope, we really didn't have sex. We didn't do nothing. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, yeah. My wife is carrying the Son of God. So then you're going to have people start going, well, you mean that God had sex with your wife? What kind of God is that? No. So then what are you going to do? Now you got an opportunity to take them back to Scripture and point them in the Word of God, all the Old Testament prophecies that lead them up to that point. Amen. And then people are going to start saying things like this. Well, what makes you think you're so special that God would choose you? Amen. Let me tell you what made Mary so special. She just believed God. The Bible says that God's eyes roam to and fro looking for somebody to show himself strong to. See, just because she asked God doesn't mean that she didn't believe God. Just because she questioned God, amen, she said, how's this going to be with me? And he explained to her how, gave her the word, and she said, okay, let it be. See, there's nothing wrong with you sitting down, amen, and asking God some questions and asking him to show you in his word. But once he shows you in his word, you've got to allow his word to override what you think. Amen. You got to allow his word to override what you think. Because if you don't allow his word to override what you think, then what you think is going to keep you where you're at, and you're never going to move into where God wants to take you. It's my thinking that gets me stuck. It's my ideas that get me. See, God's always going to raise me above and out of that. Amen. But if I allow my ways to override God's ways, then I'm never going to move in his ways. Amen. So he says, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. For that it was betrothed. Now, he takes it a step further. For that, they were just betrothed. But he says, come here. Come here. He says, I know I've struggled with this a little bit. I know I've kind of struggled with believing this a little bit. I know I was going to put you away and kind of lock you up over here and hide it and everything, pretend like nothing really happened. But he said, Lord, come visit to me. And he said, this is of God. This is of God. So he goes on and he says, and knew her not still. What does that mean? That means they still hadn't had sex. So he took her as his wife. But they did not have sex until well after the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus had brothers and sisters, right? Amen. The book of Matthew tells us that. He had many brothers and he had many sisters. That's why I tell people, and I don't mean this to be vulgar, I don't mean this to be crude, but when people call her the Virgin Mary, read the Bible. She wasn't a virgin after Jesus Christ was born. Jesus had many brothers and sisters. Amen? And so when we sit there and what has happened within the Catholic denomination, and I'm not against the Catholic, but I will speak this out, that I don't care, it does not matter how favored the Mother Mary was in the eyes of God. Amen? I'm here to tell you that when people pray to the Mother of Mary, it is idolatry, it is demonic, and it is not of God. I'm not saying that the Mother Mary is not in heaven, but there is not but one way to the Father. That's not through the Mother Mary. That's not through his brothers and sisters. That is through Jesus Christ. Him and him alone is the only way. There is no other way. I was watching a deal with this demon named Oprah yesterday. Yeah. That's what I call a demon. Any of you ladies or men in here that watch that garbage, it's a part of her book club and all that stuff. You need to repent and burn it and trash your computer and get out of it. Amen? But as I watched this demon yesterday, number one, years ago, saying that there's many ways to God. All right? Said that years ago. But one of the biggest religions out there is Oprah using her power and her positive motivational speaking in order to lead many astray. And saying that there's many ways to God. And for us to sit there and watch that as entertainment is to build up her viewing status, amen, and really is a way of tithing into her demonic ministry. It's a way of tithing. Let me tell you something, all that garbage, Dr. Phil, Oprah, all that garbage on there. When you watch that, you're tithing your views into supporting that garbage, and it's because of your viewership that garbage is able to stay on the air. That's all I got to say about that. Let's go to Luke 2. I'm getting hungry, and we're going to get into some eating. And it came to pass. Is he out there yet? All right, praise the Lord. We would have been done 20 minutes ago, but barbecue wasn't here yet. I'm serious. That's why I preach it. I'm serious. Would y'all see me kept on walking back there? I was like, is Lloyd here yet? I was going to do a short service today. And he went, I had all the preaching in earlier today. I was. Yeah, an old belly God needing a sacrifice, amen. Hey, but we still got some good preaching in today, didn't we? Amen. All right, let me read this real quick. I'm waiting on a sign, Brady. Give me the sign when they're done out there. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, I'm in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 now, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth in Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. In other words, boom, being out there around. Nowadays, we call it, you about to bust at any time. Amen? And it says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I love that. Check that out. I'm going to talk here for you. Talk a second right here. Here comes this woman pregnant with the Son of God, riding into town, knocking on doors and saying, hey, I'm about to have a baby. Can I come in? No, ain't got no room for you. Next door, hey, got a spare room. I'm about to have a child of God. Can I come in? Nah, ain't got no room for you. Go down the next one, knocking on the door. Hey. I'm about to have a child of God. Can I come in? No. That's horrible, isn't it? But yet the Bible says that Jesus stands at your door and knocks. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and does what? We ain't no different than these people right here. Ain't got no room. I got too much going on in my own life right now. I got too much going on in my own life. I ain't ready to let Jesus in. Hey, man, because if Jesus moves in here, he's going to start dealing with my sexual fornication. Amen. If Jesus moves up in here, he's going to start dealing with my sin. He's going to start dealing with my attitude. If Jesus moves up in here, he's going to start dealing with my drugs and alcohol. If Jesus moves up, if Jesus really gets on the inside of me, he's going to start closed. Ain't got no room. Ain't got no room. A lot of us are no different than this right here. We will not allow Jesus in. And our excuse becomes that the Word of God is legalistic, that the preacher is judgmental, that all of this stuff is going on, but we will not let Jesus in, because when Jesus moves in, there's one rule. He takes control. He takes control. And in the same way, our heart is so full of other mess that we're not willing to let Christ in and let his son be born in us. We keep him out there on the side in the manger and just run to him when we need something instead of allowing him to move into our life. Amen? And he goes on and he says, it says, and there were in the same country, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were sore afraid. You know what? Every time the Lord showed up in the Bible, you know what happened to people? They were afraid. We sit here and we talk about how many times today, oh, I'd love for the glory, I mean, and God allows us to feel a little a tingly presence. I'm telling you something. Let me get this straight with you folk. If Jesus Christ himself was to come through that door right there and walk in this room, it wouldn't be like you see on the pictures going, Jesus is my homeboy, and him high-fiving everybody. That's demonic. It wouldn't be this attitude that we have. No, if Jesus Christ was to walk in that door and walk up here and everybody to see, you would fall down on your face in fear and trembling. You'd fall on your face, and one of the first things that come out of your mouth is, my God, have mercy on me. Because in his presence, sin cannot dwell. And it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. You look up that word fear, and you know what that word fear means? It means be scared. We like to water it down today and say, oh, that don't mean fear. That's exactly what it means. I've done it before, too, until I really, really studied the word out. That's exactly what it means. We like to say, well, that really don't mean fear. Well, that's really what it means. Fear, scared, shaken. And that's one of the devil's greatest plans. Because if you don't have a fear of God now, you ain't going to fear the day that you got to stand before him. And if you don't have a healthy fear of something, it's never going to change the way you live. It's that simple. If you don't fear one day, see, listen, there's a line there. There's a fear that people don't have that continue living in sin because they do not know God. But once you truly know God, there's a fear that enters into you, but yet at the same time, there's a peace that enters into you. See, I don't have to fear now. I don't have to fear the judgment day. I don't have to fear being departed from him. I don't have to fear that now. I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear when I die because I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't have to fear that now. But I sure do think about it a lot of times. Sometimes, I'm just going to get real with you. Does this question ever run through your head? And I ain't even asked the question yet. He already knows. You ever just ask yourself, am I really saved? Because, man, sometimes I have thoughts run through my mind. I'm like, Lord, am I even saved? Amen? But then I got to go back to the Word of God, and I got to start reading the Word of God. Amen? So what happens is with us, there is a fear, but there's also a peace. And it is the fear of God that no one, and I know it's the righteousness of God also, so don't take this the wrong way, but I'm trying to explain it here, Lord. Holy Ghost, help me. That, yes, the righteousness of God that is in me will war against the unrighteousness of my flesh that I want to fulfill. Out of a fear that knowing one day I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to have to give an accountability for my life before Him. Which motivates me to change some of the ways I do things while I'm down here on the ground, still around. Knowing that I don't find my salvation in my works, but knowing that now I work for God and He greatly affects my works. Amen? So I'm going to not get on preaching on that because we're fitting to go. And it says, and this, in verse 10, and the angel said unto him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. In other words, he's saying, hey, hold on a second, hold on a second. What did Jesus say? He said, I didn't come into the world to condemn it. I come into the world to save it. John chapter 3. You know, we all know John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But man, you read the verses after that, it'll slap you right upside the head. It says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. What? That the world through Him might be saved. That the world through Him might be saved. Why did God send His Son into the world? Because every one of us was already condemned. We was already going to hell. Amen? So He sent His Son into the world. Why? In order that the world might be saved. Amen? In order that the world, who's the world? If you're in the world, raise your hand. That's you and me. Amen? And He says, he who believes him is not condemned. You believe Him, you're not condemned. But he who does not believe Him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So I tell people this often. This is hard to take. Why can somebody, there's one of two reasons somebody cannot be delivered from the power and bondage of sin. Number one, it could be a demonic stronghold, and a person does not have the power to overcome that. They must be delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost. Or number two, you just love your sin more than you love God. And if you love sin more than you love God, you're never going to walk away from it. It's just that simple. That's what the Bible says, right? If I love alcohol more than I love God, I'm not going to lay it down. If I love drugs more than I love God, I'm not going to lay it down. If I love pornography more than I love God, I'm not going to lay it down. If I love sexual sin more than I love God, I'm not going to lay it down. If I love religious motions and going to church more than I love God, I'll never see a need to pick up His word. Amen? So, the Bible tells us very, very clearly that Jesus came into the world to do what? To save the world. It says, and this is the this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. I close down with this. Y'all can go ahead and come up. Number one is the angels, when Jesus Christ was born, who did He choose to reveal Himself to? The ones that were homeless, the ones that lived out in the fields, the ones that lived in that slept with the animals, the lowest of society. Amen? Because many, many times, people that have got it all together, and I'm not saying this with everybody, but many, many times, people that have got it all together, they see no reason. Their life is good. And let me tell you where the preaching of the gospel has went these last few years, last several years. That we come to people and we tell them, we say, hey, if you know what? If you just give your life to Jesus, you'll have more peace than you've ever known. Well, you tell that to a man that's got several million dollars in the bank and sitting out by his pool, sipping on lattes every day and ain't got no troubles going on. He's going to say, hey, I got peace. Amen? You tell that to somebody that ain't got no struggles going on, hey, I got peace. Everything in my life is fine. That's why we must tell them about sin. Amen? So number one, who did the angels come to? They come to the people living in the fields. Number two, He said peace and goodwill toward man. Jesus didn't come into this world to bring peace between you and everybody else. Listen, Jesus didn't come into this world to bring peace just between you and your family members. Jesus didn't come into this world so you just get along with everybody, and I'm being real. And that's what we think Christian is today, is just getting along with everybody. Oh, he was such a nice guy. He didn't know a stranger and didn't have any enemies. Everybody loved him. Yet the Bible says, be aware of those who all men speak well of. Amen? I never heard anybody say a bad thing about him. Well, that's a problem. especially if you're a Christian. Amen? So he says, peace and goodwill toward men. Listen, God, Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to bring a sword. I mean, I didn't come into this world to bring peace. I come into this world to bring a sword. What does a sword do? It divides. It cuts. I'm excellent at swinging a sword. Amen? He said, but he come to bring peace and goodwill toward men. See, you got to understand, this is what Jesus Christ come into this world to do. He didn't come into this world so you could have a better car, a better house. And those are fringe benefits of God. I'm not saying it's not. Don't take that away. But he come into this world as a man because the man in the Garden of Eden submitted to the power of Satan, gave his authority away. A man gave that authority away, a man named Adam. So many of us say, well, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Because since a man gave it away, a man had to come and take it back. That make sense to you? And this man was laying in this manger, and his name is Jesus. And he says, I come to bring peace and goodwill toward men. He didn't come in order so that you and I never have any trouble on our job, did he? Amen? He didn't come so that you and I would just get along with everybody and get high fives and pat everybody on the back. Because if that is true, then there wouldn't be all the wars and rumors of war and everything that we hear going on right now. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you really, really start taking a stand for Jesus, that's going to find, you're going to find out how unwelcome and the gates of hell are really going to be unleashed against you. He said, you're going to be persecuted in this world for my name's sake. He said, as a matter of fact, they're going to hate you. Why? Because they hated me first. He said, but blessed are those who are persecuted. Amen. So if he says peace and goodwill toward all men, what is he talking about? Let me read it again, just to be sure I'm saying it right. He says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That means men and women. So what was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming into this world? It's because that there is something that separated God from me and me from God. And that's sin. So what did Jesus do? He come into this world in order so that peace could be restored between God and man, not between man and man. Some of you are going to serve God, it may cost you family relationships. Jesus said this, that a prophet is without honor in his own town. We got this false idea that if I'm born again and saved, that everybody should love me. I should get along with everybody, and everybody should get along with me. That's completely unscriptural. It's unbiblical. He says, peace and goodwill toward man. Peace and goodwill cannot come from me. Peace and goodwill cannot come from you. Bible tells me that I hated God. So what is the peace and goodwill that come from God? What was his peace offering? That baby laying in that manger. He is the only one that can send peace and goodwill. And what did he have to do? He had to put himself in a suit, in a flesh suit, and he had to send it in the form of this man, Jesus. And when Jesus grew, he ministered the gospel. And he had to go and die on a cross. Why did he have to die on this cross? Because there was sin that had to be paid for. And it was a debt that we owed to God's law, but you and I could not pay it. It was a debt that was owed. We owed God's law. We broke his law. Just like when you go and you get a speeding ticket, you get a traffic violation, you owe the courts a debt because you broke the law of the land. And God looked down at you, and he looked down at me. And I had a debt that was longer than I-20. I had violations. I lied. I stole. I killed. I murdered. Sexual fornication, cheating, all of it. My debt, I did not have a way to pay my debt.
And it caused me to be at odds with God. It caused me to be separated from God. Just like if you cheat on your wife, it'll cause you to be separated from your wife. If you cheat on your husband, it'll cause you to be separated. If you kill somebody, it'll cause you your freedom. I had a list of charges against me, and I owed the court of heaven a debt that I could not pay. And God sent his son, Jesus Christ, because I could have got the death sentence. That's what I deserved. But me going to death did not absolutely do nothing for my sin. And a sinful man can't pay a sin debt. It's got to be the innocent dying for the guilty. And so Jesus came in this manger to take away the sin. So that what happens is my sin debt and your sin debt had to be paid. It's not paid by going to church. Listen to me. It's not even paid by reading your Bible. Reading your Bible will educate you on what happened. It's not even paid by praying. It's not paid by going to Bible studies. The sin debt can only be paid one way. You got to come to a recognize, you got to come to the place of understanding that there is a debt that is owed. You got to come to the place of understanding that you are a sinner. I am a sinner that has absolutely no way, no righteousness, no goodness within myself to pay this debt. And then it's not until I recognize that that I can throw myself at the mercy of the courts. And I can say, my God, my God. And then at that moment when we see, here's the problem with the modern day gospel. When sin is not preached and only grace is, then you never have the understanding of what you need to turn from, and you'll never truly have an appreciation for the grace of God. Nowhere through the letters of Paul can you get, you know what? You know the church, the Corinth, you know the letter Romans was a letter of correction. See, we don't like to hear that today. 1 Corinthians was a letter of correction. 2 Corinthians was a letter of encouragement after the correction. Galatians was a letter of correction. Who has bewitched you so soon, you foolish Galatians? All of these epistles were letters of correction to the body of Christ. But yet today in the church, we become so snowflakey and so soft and so offended that the same correction that was written by the Holy Ghost then, we can't receive it in our own life today. We celebrate Christmas as I take a gift and I wrap it up in a beautiful box with some pretty paper and a pretty little bow on it. But God's gift was himself wrapped up in human flesh, stained in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you. God, I ask right now that your spirit
touch the hearts of those watching. Touch the hearts of those that are here. That, Father God, we come to the place of recognizing that there's nothing that I can do that restores peace with